Would you stand with me? If you turn to Exodus, the 15th chapter, and verse 26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Deuteronomy. Chapter 7, starting in verse number 11. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments. You see, God's promises are conditional. If you will do this, here's what I'm going to do. If you hearken to these judgments and keep them and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he swore unto thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, thy wine, thine oil, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he swore unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word tonight. It's true. It's forever. You will not change. Allow us to have the faith to believe in every word that is in your book. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Turning to Genesis, the 31st chapter. Have you ever had an employer make a promise and then didn't keep the promise? You know, there's a lot of upheaval going on in this world right now. People losing their jobs or being laid off because of this social and economic problems that we have right now. And it's very uncomfortable for people. Verse number one of that 31st chapter says, and he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not towards him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with you. You find if you'll follow God's direction, God will always be with you. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not towards me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all of the cattle were bare speckled. And if he said thus, the ringshank shall be thy hire, then bare all of the cattle ringshanked. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ringshanked, speckled, and grizzled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, Here am I. And he said, Lift up now thine eyes and see all of the rams which leap upon the cattle are ringshanked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillars, and where thou vowed a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from the land, and return unto the land of thy father. So we see there's been some promises that have been broken, and there probably isn't anybody here who hasn't had a situation like this where someone promised them something and then it just didn't come to pass. Jacob said to Laban in Genesis 31 and 4, he says, Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Except the Lord of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hadst sent me away now empty. God hath seen my afflictions and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight. When we're right with God, nobody can cheat you. Nobody can take anything away. You don't have to fear for that. We will never be sent away empty-handed. We will never get the short end of the stick. We will never be swindled out of anything because God says, I won't allow that to happen. And we should never leave a church service empty-handed. You can have whatever you want when you come to a church service. The reason Jacob had to leave his father's house in the first place was the battle over the inheritance. We find Jacob cared about the inheritance, but Esau, well, he just didn't put much value on the inheritance. Some people put a greater emphasis on living holy and getting to heaven, and that always brings on a battle with people who really aren't so excited about it or sincere about it or wanting to follow God's word. It'll cause separation from those who don't value the inheritance. But you will never leave empty-handed when God is with you. He will always come through for you. Have you ever had an employer who promised you a promotion, perhaps a raise or better benefits, and, well, it just didn't happen? I don't know if there's anybody here that hasn't had some kind of an experience like that, looking for better wages, better position, did everything you could to do the job the best that you possibly could. 6 months went by, then a year, and maybe even 2 years, yet no mention of anything. And finally, you get the courage to walk into your boss's office to ask him, where is what you promised me when you hired me? And he says, oh, yeah, we're going to do that, but you just have to be a little more patient. And that's not the answer you were looking for. I've said this before. I worked for somebody like that years ago. Did the best that I possibly could. In fact, the name of the company was the Godsell Company. After 3 years, I was promoted from vice president to president. I tripled the size of the agency in just 3 years. The agency was owned by a bank, and I talked to the president of the bank to see whether or not he would sell it to me, and he agreed to sell the agency to me, but because now the agency was worth more, management decided that it was more of a investment than something they wanted to get rid of. And so it forced me to start my own insurance agency, which was the best thing that could ever happen to me at the time. I didn't realize it at the time because I could have worked another 6 years and never gotten any further, right. You see. Sometimes tragedy is what God is saying, hey, I want to bless you. I want to give you. And maybe if everything would have gone right with Laban, would Jacob have left? You see? You're supposed to go back to your father's land. Yeah, but it's so comfortable here. And sometimes it's so comfortable, and you're afraid of the unknown. But if God's with you, it really isn't an unknown. And what I left with knowledge and confidence, and I left with God's blessing, which is most important. Was Laban concerned about his daughter and grandsons, or was he more interested in the blessing that came with someone who was living for God? You see, whether we understand it or not, because we're living for God, your employer is blessed. They may not understand that, but God is blessing you, and as a result, he's blessing the company that you're working for. Amen. Laban changed Jacob's wages 10 times, always giving him less, or that which he thought was worthless. People will make you promises, and later when it doesn't benefit them, they will change their minds and want to negotiate new terms. Well, yeah, I was going to do that, but you see, we have more expenses, and there's some problems here, and so now we have a right to change what we said. Life is set up in terms of promises and rewards. This whole life with God is set up promises and reward. If you contingent upon what you are supposed to do, and then God blesses accordingly. It's just a matter of finding the right employer who won't go back on his word. How'd you like to work for God? Because if you work for God, you know there's going to be promotions, there's going to be benefits. He won't put these diseases on you that he puts on the Egyptians, you see. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." When he makes a promise, you can count on the promise. It's a wonderful thing when God speaks to us, you know, and tells you about something he's going to do in the future. Write it down. You know it's going to happen because God is not going to change his mind. If God makes us a promise, even if we disappoint God, we don't do our best. If God promised it, he's still going to do it. Numbers 23:19 says this, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent or change his mind. Hath he said and shall not do? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good?" God's not going to change his mind. He's not going to change your benefit plan, you see. He's going to give you what he said he would. Romans 11:29 is an awesome scripture because it says, "For the gift and calling of God is without repentance." In other words, if God wanted to do something for you, he's not going to change it. You can backslide, but God's not going to change his mind about what he wants in your life. Hallelujah. Well, I thought God was going to, and I didn't do everything. God still has the opening for you. Now, on the other hand, Satan has promised everyone all kinds of happiness, bonuses and perks, and he wants people spending their life bound in servitude to him, making promises that he can't deliver on. Live for pleasure. That'll make you happy. Will it really? Work your brains out. That'll bring you contentment. Really? Pick up some habits. Why not? They're fun. Really? But people just buy into the emptiness and they never get satisfied or fulfilled. It's a dead-end road that just delivers nothing but heartache and sorrow. Take a look at John 10. And verse number 10, here's what Jesus says. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, people walk into a church like this. They see the freedom that we have. We enjoy the presence of God. But they're thinking that God is in the takeaway business. You're going to take some of your fun, your freedom, some of the things that you love so much. When God's saying, no, I'm going to give you life and life more abundantly. You're going to be happier than you ever could be if you didn't follow me. And that's the employer that we have. And when people try to get out of the indenture of this world, Satan will track you down and try to convince you to stay one more year, and then I'll let you go. I'm going to cut this off. I'm coming back to church. But 1 year turns into 20 and 20 into a lifetime of servitude. Satan will advertise all of the pleasures of sin. You see it every day. It's in the media. It's everywhere you go. But he won't tell you about the payday down the road of cancer and divorce and misery. There is a payday. Play today and pay tomorrow. Don't waste a minute of your life working in agreement with a lying employer that has promised you what he can't deliver. Because there isn't any pleasure in this world that fulfill or satisfy us. God has a way of not letting things put us in servitude. He wants to take us away from those things that hold us in indenture and giving us that which is not important to the world, but important in your overall happiness. But will deliver happiness, joy to God's people. Take a look at Genesis, the 30th chapter. Genesis chapter 30 and verse number 35. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-shanked and spotted, and all of the goats that were speckled and spotted, and everyone that had some white in it, and all of the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hands of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of hazel and chestnut trees and peeled white stakes in them and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flock in the gutters in the watering troughs when the flock came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink, and the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ring-shaked, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flock towards the ring-shank and all of the brown in the flocks of Laban, and he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not into Laban's cattle. separated. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rod before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the lords. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in, so the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and manservants and camels and asses. So an angel came to Jacob after his wages were changed again, to the point where really I'm working, but I'm not receiving. And God said, I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. Here is the plan. When the flock come to water and the rams breed with the flock, it was said that Jacob cut the bark of small sapling trees in stripes, green poplar, hazel, and chestnuts. So they had these sapling trees that he stripped and made them look striped. And when they came to eat, and when they came to drink, and when they came to water, they saw what he had done. And every time the sheep came to water in fellowship, Jacob would bring out the striped rods and place it before their eyes. And the amazing thing was that the sheep started to produce that which they were looking at. They produced striped and speckled, ring-shanked, spotted, and they were not the misfits of the flock like Laban thought they would be the mis. You know, God's looking for some good misfits that he can make strong. But they were the strongest of the flocks. That which Laban thought was the weak and the worthless now had become the strongest of the whole flock. They produced more sheep and overcame the diseases that the others could not. Every time we come to church, it's for the purpose of spiritual reproduction. This is where we get our food. This is where we get our refreshing, if you will. And we fellowship here. It is my responsibility to put the one that took the stripes before you. Every time you see the one who took the stripes, then we reproduce after the one who took the stripes. Show you Jesus responding to unjust situations so you can respond the right way to unjust situations. To produce after Jesus, his character and his values. I also have to set before you people on this platform that represent the holiness of God. And if I don't, then this church will produce another kind of sheep, a weak sheep. Not a strong sheep. Weak sheep, worldly sheep, sheep that will be counted without the stripes and belong to the cheater, the liar. Some shepherds don't want speckled sheep, but I say, bring them on. They're the strong ones. Because they have been picked on and rejected and passed by and persecuted. And when we're picked on and rejected and passed by, what happens? We become stronger because of those situations. We can identify with the one who took the stripes because we take the stripes, if you will. They'll pick on us like speckled birds. We are different than the rest of this world. They don't like us because we aren't like them. Take a look at Jeremiah 12. And verse number 9. My heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. the bird round about are against her. Come ye, assemble all of the beasts of the fields, come to devour. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate because no man layeth it to heart. The spoilers are come upon all high places. We're talking about the church through the wilderness. For the sword of the Lord shall devour from the one end of the land even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit. And they shall be ashamed of your venues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, against all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit, behold, I will pluck them out of their lands and pluck out of the houses of Judah from among them. And it shall come to pass, after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them and will bring them again, every man to his heritage and every man to his land. And it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people to swear by my name, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. So we find that God's saying, you know what? We can take the good flock and turn it into the weak flock, simply because there's somebody who won't declare it. One day, God will walk through the flock, picking out the speckled and the spotted sheep, those that have been maligned and slandered and despised and persecuted, those that have suffered their own stripes of adversity. God's going to mark them. God's going to pick them, even though the world thinks lesser of them, and proclaim, "These are mine. They have my marks of ownership on them." Do you have marks of ownership on you? Have you suffered for his name's sake? Have you been persecuted, maligned, selected against? Every one of us have, because we don't belong to the rest of the world. We belong to him, you see. He's the one who took the stripes. Yes, we're going to be much like him. As our musicians come, if you turn to Genesis 30, Genesis 30, starting in verse 32, says, I will pass through all thy flocks today, removing from thence all of the speckled and spotted cattle, and all of the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and the brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. I'm glad I'm a speckled sheep. I'm glad I've got the stripes on me. I'm glad I have marks of ownership on me. Paul said, hey, can't do anything to me. I have marks of ownership of the Lord. I read something some years ago. I'm assuming it was true. They say when a zebra is born, it's pretty much white. And it can be in a whole herd of other zebras. But what the mother zebra will do is she'll block the sight of the baby zebra so it only sees her. And eventually, it will develop the same pattern of marks on it as the mother because of what it sees. Our kids come into the church. They don't know anything else. We want to block the rest of the world. You know, and there may be 300 zebras in a herd of zebras, but that little zebra knows exactly which mother it is because I've got the same stripes. I've got the same stripes as my Lord. He took stripes for me. I'm going to take some stripes for him. And I'm glad that when people come to the church, they can look at a pattern on this platform. I told you Sunday night, doctor and his wife were here Sunday morning, and he said to his wife, well, if we're going to be a part of this church, I'm going to have to buy you a whole new wardrobe. Nobody told them. Nobody said anything. But they saw. Amen. Once we let that down, once we get to that place where we compromise, you see, then we become the weak sheep. Then we're susceptible to all of the other things that the world is susceptible to. But no, these are mine. I want God to say, these are mine. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The altar is open. Would you come?